And I'm missing one. Yes, yes. And so with that, what we go down through is all those different attitudes to where there is a blessing involved at the end. But we have to become the attitude before the blessing until we understand where the blessing comes from. Now this morning, we want to look over chapter 5, verse 6 of Matthew, at the verse that says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And then here's the blessing. They'll be satisfied. So really what we're going to be talking about is an attitude that I can have when I'm facing daily circumstances, following Jesus, living for the Lord, because he came down to free us from sin and to give us eternal life, but he wants us to have life here on earth at a spiritual abundance. And so to have spiritually abundant life here on this earth, I need to become an attitude that if I hunger and thirst for righteousness, then I can be satisfied. Now, perhaps the reason most people are not living lives of satisfaction, at least a spiritual one, and even a fleshy one, is because they have an appetite for the wrong things. They're craving the wrong things. The food and drink that will be satisfied. All of us have favorite foods. How many likes Mexican the most? How many likes seafood? All right? How many likes just American food, the burgers and the fries and everything? Okay? How many likes all kinds of food? Okay. What's going to happen about 3 or 4 hours later?
You're hungry again.
You're going to get hungry again. And what was satisfied becomes a craving again. An unsatisfaction. So you're always constantly looking for something to satisfy you. Now, if it was just about getting, hey, I just need energy, I just need vitamins, I just need, you know, I look at Megan and Morgan's diet now. I don't know how many of you crave protein drinks, but they have a certain formula and stuff, and I don't know about you, because there's one time I was pouring into their feeding bag, and it dripped on the counter, and in my mind, I'm like, I'm just going to try it. I'm glad they don't have to drink it. It goes from the tube right into their stomach. Yet they're the healthiest young ladies nutritiously than I am. Because what I see is what I want, and I want satisfaction. And have you ever caught yourself where you eat more than what you need? If you ever cut yourself that way, that means that you're looking for satisfaction, or you don't fulfill the satisfaction to your brain that comes from your tongue. And that is the art of learning how to eat properly in some ways, is because your brain likes taste. It craves taste. So your tongue's got taste buds, right? But your stomach's down there. It could care less what it tastes like. Just get it down here, I'll chew it up, I'll send it off to the rest of the body so you'll have nourishment, right? It don't have taste buds in your stomach. But what we do is we eat, and we eat so fast to the point to where we don't satisfy the tongue, but our tummies are full. And so we then eat more than what is necessary. Okay? So with that, people in our everyday life, not just food, are hungering and thirsting for the wrong things. So, what's the first step that I need to take to develop this attitude of hungering and thirsting for God's righteous life? That he wants me to be right with him, because you got to remember, back in Genesis, he created us in his image. Then sin separated us from that image. And then he sent Jesus to get rid of the sin, so and live a life that modeled that if we just followed, we can keep sin out of our life. I love what Jerry Jones, and I always have to explain myself, this is not the Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones was head of the Bible department at Harding University at one period of time. He was an elder of a very large church in Boston, Massachusetts at one time. And now him and his wife, his first wife died of cancer. Well, they lived in St. Louis, and now they married Lynn. They do a marriage seminar, okay? But he's always said that here's the whole thing about Christianity. You get sinless through your commitment to Jesus and what Jesus did for you on the cross by getting connected to the blood of the Lamb. Because the blood of Jesus will wash away all your sin. You won't have to think about the past anymore. All you have to do is just look for the future. But in your future, it's not to go back to the old sin, the old self. It's to learn how to sin less, with the goal in mind, I want sin out of my life. I want it out. I want it completely gone. But I need to crave it. Because when my eyes and my heart and my passions start craving more towards earthly things again, then I start seeking them instead of the righteous living that God wants me to live. The life of His image. What's the first thing I got to do? Number one, quit searching for satisfaction in the wrong places. I got three to fill in the blank real quick. I know that doesn't mean anything, but I'll say it anyways real quick. Here we go. Pleasure. Quit looking for satisfaction in pleasure. We think if we can just have enough fun, we can be satisfied. Yet King Solomon, which is noted to us as being one that had taken a lot of knowledge and experience, and that wisdom came out of it, shares with us in Ecclesiastes. So listen to some of his words. Here's what he says about pleasure. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people and to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. So I hated life. This is verse 17. Because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after a wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. Where are we seeking for satisfaction? If it's in my pleasure here on this earth, my toiling, the things that I do, then we're looking at satisfaction or coming up with it, hunger and thirsting in the wrong place. Number two, performance. In chapter 4, verse 8, see, a lot of time, I get drawn into this one. Success produces satisfaction. That's simply not true. How many successful people you know are unsatisfied and miserable? At least in the world's eyes, they're successful. After the thrill of winning, there's always comes the realization that there's always something missing. There's something always gone. I see it here all the time. that there's a lot of times couples get married and then they have very successful lives, but the success of their lives is where they were able to grow within a corporation of some sort. And they have a lot of money and they have a big house and they have all these material things, and their relationship is totally shot with each other. So I can't find righteousness in performance. What people think is successful. Here's what Solomon said. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There is no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless. A miserable business. In chapter 6, verse 7, he said, everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. So it's not found in performance. The third one is that it's not found in possessions. Today, there are more products available. I don't know. All I have to do is turn on the TV because it seems like every 2 minutes there's a commercial. There are more products available than ever before. And have you ever read sometimes, or you listen to them, they'll come up with this phrase called satisfaction guaranteed. And you order the product and the thing breaks, or it doesn't work for you. I'm still waiting on that pill that I have to do is take it one night. I'll get up the next morning, I'll be 50 pounds lighter. I hate it when they say take it, but you got to have diet and exercise. When you actually find out, you just need diet and exercise to get rid of it, and you could have saved money on the pill. Instant satisfaction. There's twice as many products than there were 10 years ago, but my question is, are people happier today than 10 years ago? Solomon said in chapter 5, verse 10, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Okay? Wow. So I got to quit looking in the wrong places. If I'm going to hunger and thirst for righteousness and then receive the blessing of satisfaction. Step number two is begin a life in the pursuit of righteousness. I have a book that's called In the Pursuit of Holiness. It's another one of those 101 classes, also along with the Holy Spirit, that I think we need to discuss with every newborn babe in Christ. Because if you can come up out of the water a Christian, guess who's going to be knocking at your heart and your mind to get you not to serve the Lord? Satan, the one who caused the reason why Jesus had to go and separated you from God. Now, he tempted you, but it's by your own evil desire that you sin. So, but my sin separates. So I mourn over my sin. But I start hungering and thirsting to be right before God. I want to make God happy with me. When we're searching for satisfaction in pleasure, performance, and possessions, we are living a life of pursuit. But it's pursuing for the wrong things. When our life goals are based on physical desires, we'll only end up empty. But you can crave and bring a spiritual satisfaction within you no matter what happens to you. No matter if you were a CEO of a company and the next time you had to think about, I might need to go and flip some burgers at the burger joint just to pay my bill. You can find satisfaction in just being right before God in whatever circumstance. It can happen, but it's a spiritual thing, not a fleshly thing. We can reflect God's righteousness to other people. I love what David wrote, or the psalmist wrote. Psalm 42:2 says this: "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water." I don't know when the last time you were thirsty, but can you imagine being out in the desert and you become very thirsty, and for miles you can't see anything to quench the thirst? But our thirst for God can be satisfied by doing the right things, the things that he wants us to do, that become an attitude, and we'll be fulfilled. Now, here's three quick ways, jot these down in your thing, how you can become satisfied. Here's three types of righteousness that we can pursue. I think all of us have a desire. We need to be justified. We need forgiveness. We need to feel fresh. How many times that there's been in my life where I hear people say, if you go to God and mourn over your sin and you ask for forgiveness and you go to the cross and you obediently connect yourself to Jesus and you come out and there is a new life to live, to the point to where you're still dragging the old sin behind you. The sin of 20 years ago. See, I'm right now thinking, I can remember a sin that I did that I was very sorry for when I was 15 years old. I can think about it right now. But how many Christians carry that with them when God's saying, I don't even remember what you're saying, because my son already covered it, and you're not repeating it? Go out and do the things that I will remember. Become a servant. Consider other people's interests more than just your own. Have the attitude of my son. Love one another as he has loved you. You want to make me happy and you want to find satisfaction? You'll live those out. And we all want to feel justified. We want to feel close to the Lord, like we've been brought back to the Lord. 2 Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthian people, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become his righteousness. I don't know if we remember, and again, we were talking about this morning at 9:30. When we turn communion into a ritual, into our mind, by just repeating it the same way and arguing you can't do it a different way, but still remember, you can get to the point to where you forget Jesus took all my sin on the cross when I brought it to him. We'll forget it. And if we forget that we are forgiven people and that Jesus took on my sin, and that's why he needed to die, then we're not going to aim ourselves to the new life living. Because we want to be justified. We crave that. Number two, we need to reflect God by personal holiness. Peter said, be holy as the Father is holy. He's just quoting Leviticus. Be like God. Do the things that God did. And if you need a fleshly example, look at Jesus, because he's the one that showed us what God is like being human. So a personal holiness to seek after. Number three is also to seek justice. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead
to the widow's cause. When people are being mistreated, when people don't have things, when people, like we hear, and I don't want to applaud us, I want to applaud God for changing our heart. Because some hearts have been changed here, that when we heard about somebody that came to, get this, that came to our fall festival. You know, and here I'm thinking, when John Quaidy has brought up this idea of a fall festival, I'm thinking, oh, just another thing on our list we've got to do, and what's my role in this thing? And I became the popcorn man, the Jamaican popcorn man. Okay? And I'm sitting here thinking ahead of time, how dare I doubt God? I'm thinking ahead of time, okay, God, you know, please bless us. I don't want John Quaidy to be disappointed in that. How many do we have? Again. But the parking lot was full. I mean, I had to be over 100 people, and when I looked out there, it wasn't you. It's people going in looking for a safe place to bring their children just to have food on Halloween. We put that thing on, and people pitched in, and thank God for Ray and Karen Catlett. They sprung in there, and they wanted to support it because they wanted John Craigus to feel the encouragement. And more people showed up than I thought, and then we got in contact with somebody that contacted us later on that moved away, that came back, was needing some help to move into a trailer, and God changed our hearts to where we're trying to help that person out to move in, because we're trying to reflect the righteousness of God. When people are in need, bring justice. And seek out ways to serve. I love it when we serve each other. That's a good training ground, church. I love it when people get up and say thank you for all the calls and sickness and stuff like that. But I also want them to move out to where that same love and reflection is being shown to people who don't know who the Lord is. And give him all the credit. And praise his name. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your listening. Isn't God worth it? When Larry was talking this morning, they're talking about how we like to look at scriptures and we want to try to follow it as close as we can. I never can convince people on the one that Paul speaks to them about. I have the hardest time convincing people that that's not a bad thing. Not an every week event. But I'm thinking. I'm hoping that just by opening up the Word, just taking these little notes and stuff like this, will have an impact on your spiritual life and who you're becoming. Because if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. And you'll get your satisfaction by being like Jesus. Because that's who we're following. Amen, church? So be that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be able to hear your word. Now we need to go practice it. We don't want to deceive ourselves by just listening. We want to go out and team up with other believers and get in our discipleship groups and maybe even our action teams. And it's not about just serving ourselves, but looking out ways so we can serve some other people. Father, I pray that other people can be led to you. We haven't had a baptism in quite a long time. And maybe it's because we're, again, still scattering seed on soil and worry comes and the hearts are just not ready. That's one thing. But we just need to be out scattering the seed. We need to be reflecting your righteousness. Not complaining, because you're the one that adds increase. But if we stop, if we ignore the lost people of this world, who's going to tell them about how great you are? The hope's crazy. Being make a commitment to you for the rest of their life, but they feel like they're dragging sin around. And they haven't taken on a commitment statement in a connection to the blood of Jesus. I pray that they decide to do that. If they want to look into your word more before they make a commitment, if they don't want to make a vow that they're not going to keep, I pray that they'll ask for help with that. I pray if there's some rededication needs to be done, that all of us would state, here's some of the things I need to be rededicated about. Whatever the need, may we respond. And as the song we sing, pierce our ears to show that we are your servants. It's through Jesus, our Lord, our Savior.
Pierce my ear, O Lord, my God. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay, for you have paid the price for me with your blood. You ransomed me. I will serve you eternally. A free man I'll never be. So pierce my ear, O Lord, my God. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God.